ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart. And today we will read text 19. Ittam munista paramed vyavasthito विज्ञान दृग्वीर्या सुरांधिताशया स्वापार्श्विनापिद्या गुदं ततो निलं स्थानेषु सत्सुन्नमाये चित्कल्मः इत्थं मुनिस्ता परमेद् व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृग्वीर्या सुरांधिताशयाः स्वापार्श्विनापिद्या गुदं ततो निलम् स्थानेषु सत्सु न मये जितकल्मः। इत्थं मुनिस्तु परमेद् व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृग्वीर्या सुरांधिताशया Drugvirya Surandita Shaya Matajis. व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृग्वीर्य स्थानेषु सत्सु न मये जितकल्मः। Okay, word to word, please repeat. Itam, thus, by Brahman realization. Munihi, the philosopher. Tu, but. Uparamet, should retire. Vyavasthitaha, well situated. Vijnanadrik, by scientific knowledge. Virya, strength. Surandita, well-regulated. Ashayaha, aim of life. Swaparshnina, with the heel of one's foot. Apidya, by blocking. Gudam, the air hole. Tataha, thereafter. Anilam, life air. Staneshu, in the places. Satsu, six primary. Unmayet, must be lifted. Jitaklamaha, by extinguishing material desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot, and by lifting the life air from one place to another in the six primary places. Purport. There are many Duratmas who claim to have realized themselves as Brahman and yet are unable to conquer material desires. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, it is clearly explained that an absolutely self-realized soul becomes completely aloof from all material desires. Material desires are based on false ego of the living being and are exhibited by his childish and useless activities to conquer the laws of material nature, and by his desire to lord it over the resources of the five elements. With such a mentality, one is led to believe in the strength of material science, with its discovery of atomic energy and space travel by mechanical vehicles. And by such tiny advancements in material science, the false egoist tries to challenge even the strength of the Supreme Lord, who can finish all man's tiny endeavors in less than a second. The well-situated self or Brahman-realized soul perfectly understands that the Supreme Brahman or the Personality of Godhead is the all-powerful Vasudev, and that he, the self-realized living being, is a part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. As such, his constitutional position is to cooperate with him in all respects in the transcendental relation of the served and the servitor. Such a self-realized soul ceases to exhibit his useless activities of attempting to lord it over material nature. Being scientifically well informed, he fully engages himself in the faithful devotion to the Lord. The expert yogi who has thoroughly practiced the control of the life air by the prescribed method of the yoga system is advised to quit the body as follows. He should plug up the evacuating hole with the heel of the foot and then progressively move the life air on and on to six places: the navel, abdomen, heart, chest, palate, eyebrows, and cerebral pit. Controlling the life air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalist, for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali Age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life air. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the translation once more. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot, and by lifting the life air from one place to another in six primary places. So, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to speak. And I seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas, senior devotees here. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada is mainly discussing about two points. One is about being situated in the absolute realization, and he's at the same time he's commenting about the position of the people who are not actually realized, but they claim to be self-realized. So he's talking about that, and on further on that point, he's giving the example of the scientists or people who have faith in materialistic science and advancement in that way. And then the second part is talking about the yogic process and how by these different yogic processes one can also become self-realized. But he mentioned that this process is more mechanical and it's not so easy to perform this process these days because people are not trained to perform those kind of austerities. People are more inclined to living a comfortable life afforded by all these scientific advancements. And so he mentions that taking to chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy name, is a much more easier and effective way of self-realization. So, talking about this point, it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto actually, Aruya Krachrena Padam. So, those who actually are claimed to be self-realized, but in reality they are not there, then because of their not having attraction to devotional service, they fall down back to the material platform. And the example is given like, you know, people especially, they try to attain to Brahman platform, and then because there is no, in Brahman platform you can become one with the universal energy, but then there is no reciprocation with the Lord. There is no service happening there. So there is no platform to continuously remain there. So they have to come back. And how they come back is they come back and they perform austerity. They perform services like, you know, charitable services. They would open a school or a hospital or do some charitable works like that. So that's like a lot of endeavor to get to Brahman platform and then come back to the same position. So it doesn't seem very beneficial. And that's why the other process of devotional service is recommended. At another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned like the different levels of realization. Vadanti tat tatva vidas, tatvam yaj jnanam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabdete. So, the example is, Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the purport about the sun rays and the sun. And he says, explains that sun rays, they are like the energy of the sun. And it's the energy of the sun. So, and then if one gets closer, one goes more deeper, one can get to the sun globe. That's so the sun rays, they are compared to like the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme. And then once you get to the sun globe, that's more like Paramatma realization, understanding the localized aspect of the Lord in the heart. And then you can actually also get to know the person who is in charge of the sun globe as in present time, it's Vivaswan. So that's more like building a relationship, personal relationship. That's considered compared to like Bhagavan realization, knowing the Supreme in His full personalized form as Krishna. So another aspect that's described here is like people who have faith in scientific advancements. So we can see in the purport also it's mentioned like, you know, so many these natural catastrophes that happen and so much of this amazing infrastructure that's built, it just like vanishes in a moment. We have all heard, I don't want to go in detail about that, but we know like earthquakes, famine, so many different ways, wars, so much of the infrastructure just gets destroyed in a moment. So we can see even materially that's possible. So for the Lord, he doesn't even have to personally do it. His energies would do it. So the other point that's mentioned here is like a self-realized person, they become free from material desires. So Lord Krishna, he talks about that kind of person in chapter 2, actually. Talks about sthita pragya, a person who is transcendentalist in a real sense. And he tells Arjuna what are the qualities of that kind of person. He mentions prajahati yada kaman. So they give up all the desires and they actually become free from possessiveness and they are fixed in this adi atma chetas. So they are fixed in the knowledge of the self. And therefore, they are easily able to give up these material desires for prestige, fame, adoration, however you call them. So in the purport to that verse, it's explained that the devotees, because they are engaged in devotional service, so there is no opportunity for them to engage their senses in other ways. But if one is not engaging their senses in service to the proprietor of the senses, Rishikesha, Krishna, then they will be forced to render service to the illusory energy of the Lord. And that's why we see like so many different kinds of practitioners. They may perform so many difficult austerities. They may perform magical feats, but when it comes to the time of tests, they are not able to continue, and they fail. And it's mainly because of they haven't developed attraction to the divine form of the Lord. And therefore, they have to come down to materialistic consciousness, rendering service in various ways. So, how is this possible for devotees to become free from these material desires? Prahlad Maharaj, he gives very beautiful words, and he explains that Nesham mati stavad urukramangrim sparshti anartha apgamo yadartha mahiyesham padrajo bishekam nishkinchananam navranita yavat. So one who has not smeared themselves with the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, those kind of people, they cannot become free from material desires. They will be forced to render service to the illusory energy of the Lord. Therefore, it's very important to take shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord, and by receiving this knowledge and realization from them, we can engage in devotional service, and that way we can easily become free from these material desires. So we don't have to perform some extra endeavor to become free from material desires. Just by engaging in devotional service, it'll naturally happen. At another place, it's described, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarver Gunaistatra Samasate Sura Kuto. Manorati Nasti Dhyavato Vahi. So one who is a devotee, they naturally develop all these godly qualities. But one who is just caught up with their mental speculation, those kind of people, even though they may have so many material qualifications, but their qualifications don't have much meaning, because they cannot be a good person in a genuine sense. So therefore, we have to understand from this example that, you know, you may meet so many people, materially they are very qualified, they are well established in society, and you know, it may seem like that they kind of figured out how it's working, but internally, if you explore deeper, you would know, like, they all have their own challenges and difficulties that they are going through. And actually, if you talk to them personally, you know, many of them, if they are sincere at all, they open up and they share what they are going through. Like, one of my services distributing these literatures, and we meet so many people, and I sometimes tell them, you look so happy, and they say, actually, it's just on the face. I was like, wow, you are doing it so well. How do you do that? And then, you know, some of them, they share what's going on internally. So, you know, people are very good at putting up a facade, a face. But, you know, for ourselves, we know, you know, what is in our heart. And therefore, it's important to understand these points, because without understanding, it'll be very easy for us to be bewildered. Another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this beautiful words, Siddhanta Baliya Chite Nakar Alas. One word I'm missing. Sudrida Manish, something. So, Krishna Lage Sudrida Manish. So it says that one should not be lazy in understanding these subjects, these topics. Because if you put your intelligence in understanding these subjects, then what will happen? your mind will be attracted to Krishna. And then it will become very easy for the mind to be deviated in other ways. So at another place, just here in one of the purports, it's mentioned. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Well, before that, I'd like to come to the point of the chanting of the holy names. So it's like when Lord Chaitanya, he went to Banaras to speak to all these Vedantists. And in the conversation, Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the leader of these Vedantists, he questioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, you are a sannyasi, you should come and be studying all these Vedas with us, and instead you are trying to avoid us and going with these all these people and dancing and chanting, and seems like very, you know, inappropriate for a sannyasi like you. So then Lord Chaitanya, he mentioned to, he in response, he said that, you know, this is what my spiritual master told me, that Murkha tumi tomara nahike Vedanta adhikar, Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sar. So his spiritual master, he says, my spiritual master considered me a fool. Of course, we understand Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, but he is presenting, because he is a sannyasi, so by his own example, he is teaching how to be a devotee. He is teaching the humble mood of a disciple and understanding the position of one's spiritual master. So he's showing how, you know, no matter how learned or how advanced one may be, one can never surpass one's spiritual master. So he was telling these Vedic scholars that my spiritual master considered me a fool, but he gave me this technique. He said, this mantra is considered the essence, Krishna mantra. So you chant this mantra and you will attain all perfection. So that's the position of the devotees. They engage in this chanting and dancing of the Hare Krishna mantra in association of other devotees, and they attain these realizations. Actually, further, Lord Chaitanya says that I don't even dance, but when I chant the mantra, my body just starts to move of its own. So this is like a whole string of verses in the 7th chapter of Adi Lila. If you are interested, you can read. It's really very nice. And he mentions this. And then when he was chanting the mantra for some time, after some time, he approaches his spiritual master again. And he says, what kind of a mantra you have given me? It has made me go mad. Now, you know, no one wants to get mad, but it's good to be mad for Krishna. Is this the right way to be mad? So what it means is that he developed so much taste for this chanting and dancing that he would do it naturally, and he experienced so many different kinds of symptoms which are given in detail. That's how you can see someone has actually attained the benefits of chanting offenseless names of the Lord. So his spiritual master told him, seeing him, he became very pleased, and he smiled, and he instructed him that you should continuously chant and teach others about it. And that's what Lord Chaitanya himself, he asked all his followers to do, you know, tell others about Krishna. And that's what our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada himself, he did, but in his own example. And he asked his students to continue in that way. So Friday, this next Friday is disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And just in reference, it's very much in relation to what we are talking about here. So I would like to share a little something about his life. So Madhavendra Puri was at Govinda Kund in Vrindavan, and he was chanting the holy names. So one day he had a very beautiful young boy, cowherd boy, approach him, and he was asking him, you know, what kind of austerities are you performing? And, you know, why are you not eating? Have you eaten anything? He questioned him like that. And then this sannyasi, when he looked at him, this was Madhavendra Puri, he looked at how beautiful this boy is. It's mentioned he forgot all his hunger and thirst and everything. And he was just like appreciating the beauty. And then the boy actually offered him a pot of milk. And he said, I know you are not eating, so, but in this village no one fasts, so you have to eat something. And he offered him this pot of milk. So Madhavendra Puri accepted the pot of milk, and then he saw the boy left, and he told him, I will come later and come back to get my pot. But Madhavendra Puri, before he left, he questioned him, how did you know I am fasting, I'm not eating? He said, oh, you know, the ladies who were passing by, they told me that there is this some sannyasi, and, you know, he's not eating, so, and it's my duty to make sure in my village no one stays hungry. So he left, and then Madhavendra Puri, he was waiting. He had the milk and he was waiting. Where is this beautiful boy gone? I haven't seen him. So evening came and still the boy didn't return. And then Madhavendra Puri was chanting all this time. And then, you know, he went to sleep. But in his sleep, he had a beautiful dream. And he saw the same beautiful boy in his dream. And the boy told him, actually, I am Gopal, and I am the master of this area. So, but I've been waiting for you. When will Madhavendra Puri come and serve me? So, then he gave him an instruction. He told him that, actually, long time ago, I used to be here in a temple, and somehow there was some difficulties, and the priest hid me under some bushes, and it's very hot here. So you should come, take me out, get the villagers to come and help you, and put me at the top of Govardhan. So when Madhavendra Puri, he saw this dream, he woke up, and he realized he was dreaming, but it was the same boy. And he realized that's the Lord he has been meditating upon, and he's been chanting the names. But then he became so upset that it's the Lord who he had been meditating on for so long, and he came before him, but he couldn't even recognize him. He was so upset with himself. How couldn't I recognize him? And then so he got himself together, and then he considered that, but he has given me an instruction, an order to follow, and that's what I should be doing. Instead of worrying about I didn't recognize him, or this happened or that happened, I should carry on his order, the duty he has asked me to perform. So then next day, morning came, and Madhavendra Puri, he went and called all the villagers, say, Gopal is here, let's go get him out. And then they had a whole installation ceremony, and there was like the Annakoot ceremony. And so that's how the worship of Gopal at Govardhan was restarted again by Madhavendra Puri. So you may be wondering why I'm talking about Madhavendra Puri today. Well, it's a good meditation for the rest of our week, especially next week will be Gaur Purnim. So Madhavendra Puri is such a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. He attracted the Lord by his purity of devotion. And it's mentioned that it is Madhavendra Puri who actually brought this seed of pure devotional service, the performing devotional service in a loving mood, which wasn't there before his coming. So Madhavendra Puri is the acharya in the devotional disciplic succession who actually brought this concept of conjugal madhurya relationship, worshipping Krishna and Radha in that mood of pure love. And from him, so his disciple was Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. So that's why I wanted to share this. And so we can see Madhavendra Puri was also, it may seem like he was just sitting there and just chanting, but it's the purity of the chanting of the devotee that actually attracts the Lord. So we have to consider this point, and it's in the verse 31 here, it's mentioned in the purport that by this kind of offenseless attentive chanting, one can renovate one's devotional service. I like this word. Like, there is so many things people renovate, so this is very nicely Prabhupada how he uses certain words. He says one can renovate one devotional practices in this way. And speaking of chanting, then in the purport to text 30 in the same chapter here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that when we speak of hearing and chanting, one should not think it's only chanting the holy names. It also means one should also read and hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. So I will say, repeat this one more time. So this is Srila Prabhupada saying, when we speak of hearing and chanting, one should also understand that we should also read and hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees. So it's a very important part of our devotional practice. And so we have to consider this. And the last point I want to mention about is, we still have time, is about the how a person in, this is about the devotees, but then what about people who don't practice devotional service? So Krishna explains about those kind of people in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that the people who are, they are influenced by false ego, and they think themselves as the doer of all the activities. And therefore, because they think they are the only doers, so they take all the credit of anything good they do. They take all the credit to themselves. Oh, I did so great. But then you see the hypocrisy in that is this. When something goes wrong, then they blame God. They don't take the credit for something goes wrong to themselves. So that's the point over there, because they are influenced by the illusory energy, and therefore under the influence of false ego they consider themselves as the only doers. But the devotees, they don't think like this. Devotees, they think differently, and they actually is in another text in chapter 3, Krishna mentions, Mai Sarvani Karmani Sanyas Adhyatma Chetasa. So, Adhyatma Chetasa, devotees, they are established in self-realization, in knowledge of the absolute truth. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that it may be difficult because it seems like a military discipline, following all these chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds every day, and then following the regulative principles of devotional service. Sometimes it may seem like a military discipline, but these are actually mentioned as the regulative principles of freedom. They free us from the influence of the illusory energy, and they give us strength to perform our devotional activities. And a devotee, although the service is sometimes seemingly, they may seem difficult, like for Madhavendra Puri, it was like a big task. How is he going to do it? But then a devotee, they don't depend on their own strength. They depend on Krishna. They take strength from spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, and they depend on Krishna. And that's how the devotees, they are able to do amazing things. Like, I would just give one example, then and I would conclude with that. So, just like when we meet people out trying to give them books, many times they say, "Oh, I had no plan to take these books. I had no plan to buy, actually." So, but then somehow or other, they become convinced. Okay, once they see the books, you know, meeting the devotees, they become inspired to take those books. And even though they had no plans, so even against their plans, they take the books, they make some contribution, and in that way, they become inspired to take to devotional service, make a start. So it's very important not only study these literatures, but also in our own ways, you know, share these, introduce these literatures to others. So this was the last point I wanted to mention, just to recap. So we don't have to be intimidated by all these materialists. They may be in big position or whatever. We have to understand Krishna is the original master, and you know, we are his servants. So we don't have to. Our strength comes from Krishna and the Vaishnavas and the Guru, and that's our strength. And that's what, when we depend on that, we won't be influenced by any other persons or the illusory energy of the Lord. And if we offenselessly chant the Hare Krishna mantra and take shelter of study of these texts, then we will become strong in our practices, and we can continue our services in an easier way. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Is there any questions or comments? It's already time, I think. But we can take, just one. Yes, Prabhu.
So according to what you are saying, there is a relationship between a little bit more advanced level of chanting without offenses and also reading Srila Prabhupada books. So can you maybe share summarization? Do you have summarization about that point?
Like we were discussing about becoming free from material desires. So, you know, when we come as new persons, we become introduced to the books, we may be filled up with so many material desires, but as we take to devotional service, we start to become free from material desires, like we see so many examples. And so personally, like, I was born in India, but you know, I wasn't performing all these things, but when I studied the Bhagavad Gita, I realized this is what I should be doing. This is my position. I'm the servant. I'm not the master. I'm not the enjoyer. I have to serve the master of the senses. So in short, that's what I would say. Maharaj, would you like to say anything more? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.